Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another Fightful Prediction Show with me, Stephanie Chase. And today I am joined by Inside the Ropes, Kenny McIntosh. Kenny, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you for inviting me. It's always good to be back on Fightful. It's always good to talk to you. So it's a good day. It's very warm, but it's a good day.
It's very warm over here. It's I've been out and about in Belfast. Everyone was bright red.
We don't handle it very well. We're not very good at the heat. So
no, we don't handle it well.
And when it's hot in Scotland as well, I mean that's like the worst. We're just not prepared whatsoever. But it's heating up this weekend in the wrestling. I mean, how many shows? There's so many.
I know. This is a bumper edition of the prediction show. I think it's been like over a year since we've done one together, Kenny. And I was trying to remember the exact last one. And we did one last January. The last one we did, or was it the January before? Because I swear like the last time we did it was right before the whole Vince McMahon lawsuit dropped, like hours before.
You're right. January 2024 is when we did it. I guess it must have been Rumble, right?
Yeah.
So.
Wow. I know it's been a while, but I just distinctly remember that happening like hours before we got off the air.
That's still going on. It's still it's like never ending story that is just destined to keep going and keep going and keep going.
Well, okay, we've got two shows or three shows, everyone. We're going to be doing Saturday night's main event, Evolution, and AEW All In. Is this as big a weekend as WrestleMania weekend as far as the amount of wrestling we've got here?
It's got to be close. This has got to be the second place. And like this all is happening because Tony Khan decided to do a stadium show. So WWE had to do three shows to combat that. I think the Saturday night's main event show is clever. I get it. It's like it's dirty games, but that's the business. So I think that Saturday night's main event was a good idea. I just don't know if Evolution, it kind of feels like the women have been given a show again where like the last time it was because they couldn't wrestle in Saudi Arabia and now it's, you know, they're trying to add value to the weekend, but you know, we'll get to the card, but when you look at that card, it's like it doesn't scream here's loads of storylines being paid off.
Yeah, I feel like this All In is now really feeling like AEW's Mania weekend. Because you have Mania, and then you have like the indie shows around it, but there was no Ring of Honor or anything at Mania this year, and Tony's never run Mania weekend. So Mania weekend, as far as like other things going on, is like a little bit diminished since like AEW and Tony buying Ring of Honor. And now with this, the first All In, other than the first one that wasn't AEW, but this one being in America, being in Texas, and then they've got Ring of Honor going on as well, and then WWE is doing all this counter programming of Evolution, Saturday Night's Main Event, and NXT. It's kind of like they've just made the weekend bigger as a wrestling weekend that, you know, is centered on All In, because that is the biggest show as far as the attendance and where it is and everything. So I feel like WWE's kind of like shot itself in the foot a bit, like kind of just made things bigger for AEW for this weekend, which is certainly not what they intended to do.
Yeah, there's even a star cast this weekend. Yeah. And the panels that look great. It's funny because I don't think you would mind me sharing this, but Conrad Thompson had messaged me a couple of months ago and he said, would you fancy coming over and hosting some panels at StarCast? And I was like, mm-hmm. I would love to. Like, I love going and doing that stuff. But I'm getting married in 2 weeks. And I think if I tried to leave for like a long weekend right before the wedding, it would just be bad for like missing something. So, but then Conrad put a tweet out responding to someone because they'd said, oh, it'd be great if you did a London star cast. And obviously Tony kind of said that AEW is going back to London next year for All In. And Conrad kind of did like a, you know, a face that means that he's maybe thinking about doing one. Mm-hmm. So me being the sort of, you know, braggadocious man that I am, I was like, if you're doing a London star cast, I want to be hosting panels here, Conrad. And I said it publicly. So he said, done. So it's a verbal agreement that that's happening if he's doing one in London. So I'm just trying to get myself work out of this.
Yeah, I admire that. I admire that.
I think you're right, though. I think this feels like AEW's, it feels like they are on a run right now where, for me, I felt for a long time that there was kind of this CM Punk shadow over everything for a long time. And it feels like that's kind of gone now. And it feels like there's, you know, I mean, yeah, I was going to go into one of the matches already, but I'll wait. But I think that overall, this feels like a massive show. I'm so glad they're going to have almost like 25,000 people there.
Yeah.
But then I do think that if you're a wrestling fan and you like both, you're going to watch both Evolution and All In. I don't think that any of the WWE shows are going to make you not watch All In. And then Tony Khan is able to change the time to go before Saturday night's main event, which was kind of a great move from him.
That's the thing. Like, it's just a win for the fans getting this much wrestling to watch. But I do think that with All In, the past 2 years being at Wembley, and like you went to both, right? Both All In, Wembley, me too. And I've always felt like they didn't, I still like stand by that they did not do a good enough job making that like a big deal, like the weekend. Even though, I mean, RevPro ran like both, but I think a lot more could have been done to make it Mania weekend-esque, and a StarCast really would have helped. So if they get back in Wembley next year and they have a, you know, a StarCast coming along for that as well, and then they maybe do a Ring of Honor show and maybe like plan doing like a Collision Dynamite a bit better, I think that then All In's return to Wembley could be even bigger based on what's been set up this year.
Yeah, I think so too. I think stack it, make it a bigger weekend. People want to go to stuff. They want to be there, and they want to. I think doing a star cast, because the good thing about a star cast is you can kind of dip in and out of it. You can go to things you want to go to. You can then go see a friend or go and see a, you know, a West End show, and then you can come back and see more stuff. So, because I know they did. I can't remember if they did it last. I think they did it both years. They did the Box Park stuff, right? Where they did.
Yeah.
The karaoke and all that kind of stuff. So
yeah,
take it in house. Get that capitalism. Make it your own thing. Like, work with Conrad.
Yeah, make it bigger. Like, you, there's so much around Wembley that they can use. Like the Box Park thing, I think, is a good start. But I think more like bigger things than being, you know, in a sweaty Box Park for a couple of hours before the show. I think Tony could put more out there, you know.
Yeah, and Conrad's the guy to do it. I've seen Conrad at StarCast, and he is so calm in the face of all the different stuff that's going on as part of a StarCast. So yeah, I hope it happens. Not just because I think I'm going to get work out of it, but I hope it happens for the fans.
I hope it happens, and I hope you get work out of it.
Thank you. That's why we're friends. You champion me, I champion you.
Right. First off, before we get started, let's hear from our sponsor at MyBookie. And we're going to start with Saturday night's main event, guys, if you want to get your predictions in the chat. But yeah, thank you to MyBookie.
Hey, guys, Sean Rossap here to tell you about MyBookie.ag. Yes, you can bet on professional wrestling. I know a lot of people watching this know that they have some insight. They've got a little bit of a heads up. And if you think that you know more than the odds makers, head over to mybookie.ag. Use that code FIGHTFUL. Get a $50 bonus with a $100 deposit or a $100 bonus with a $200 deposit. They have lines on upcoming shows for WWE, AEW, as well as all other sports. But leave with a little bit of extra if you feel very confident in the direction of some of the booking, the direction of some of the storylines. You can bet on anything, anytime, anywhere with mybookie.ag. Use that code FIGHTFUL. Please only bet what you can, and please bet responsibly. Mybookie.ag bringing you the best experience from the best. Mybookie.ag and the code FIGHTFUL.
Mybookie.ag, code FIGHTFUL. Let's get to it, Kenny, with Saturday night's main event from Atlanta, Georgia. And we had a match announced today, actually, for the United States Championship, Solo Sikoa versus Jimmy Uso. Okay, I think this one, I'm going to go with Jimmy Uso ending the reign of Solo Sikoa. Wow. I'm still not high on Solo Sikoa. I've seen improvement, but only improvement because they've, like, knocked him down a few pegs. So I'm not sure if that's improvement or just being at the right place. But how do you feel about this one?
I think I feel bad for Solo in some ways because I feel like Roman Reigns and that era of the bloodline was so big and so great that, you know, he's kind of left with what's left. And he's met. It's almost like if you watched like a TV show and then they brought back like some second tier people from the TV show and then they have to lead the next series. Like it's a kind of no-win situation. But I think Solo has to win because it's his first, you know, big it's a big defense for him. Jimmy Uso has not been built up in any way to me to be champ. And also, I think the Usos are going to get back together soon. That's my prediction. I think they're going to get back together and then they can win one of the tag titles or something. But yeah, I don't disagree with you that Solo's not maybe hitting. I don't think he is hitting as the US champ, but yeah. I can't see him getting it to Jimmy Uso. Look,
I liked your TV analogy. It reminds me of my dear friend Matty Edwards that you guys have seen on this prediction show from Grapple. He absolutely loves the bloodline, anything bloodline adjacent. And he said that the new bloodline was Frasier and the old bloodline is Cheers. And I really can't get on board with that at all because I really do love the show Frasier. I can't get on board with that at all.
Yeah, maybe it's like, I mean, if we're going to go with that analogy, maybe Solo's bloodline is like the new Frasier, like the
even like that though.
But, it was okay. I mean, I love Niles and Daphne and Roz.
So I know.
Solo's in a tough spot. Like I think even if Solo had been like firing on all cylinders, it's like Roman's gone, Jey Uso's out of it, Sami Zayn's gone. It's a lot of people that you then need to carry the load. So, mm-hmm. But yeah, I think because I'm assuming we're going to get Solo Sikoa and Jacob Fatu for the belt at SummerSlam. So I think Solo's keeping it.
Sorry. Maybe you're right, and Solo will keep it. I just feel like he's kind of run his course, but I could see if like looking at the bigger picture, it probably makes sense that he gets the match with Jacob at SummerSlam, and that would be that'd probably be better. I think you've swayed me. I'm gonna go with. Okay, up next, Randy Orton and your countryman Drew McIntyre in a singles match. Who have you got for this one, Kenny?
I feel like if I say Drew, it's like I'm just champion in Scotland, but I think it's Drew. I mean, he's just come back last week on SmackDown, and I think Randy Orton is probably going to turn heel soon against Cody, maybe post SummerSlam. This is my plea. Please get that WWE title off of John Cena. Just get it off of him. This heel run, my God.
It's awful, isn't it? It's so bad.
Like, it could have been so great. It's not been. Yeah. So get the belt off and put it back in Cody. So I think Orton will turn heel. And I think if he loses here to Drew, that kind of keeps the idea of, you know, as a clean cut baby face, he's not being able to get the job done. So mm-hmm. you can then tell a story with that. What do you think? Are you Team Scotland or are you Team Missouri?
I'm always Team Drew McIntyre. I think he's been so great. I mean, you've probably been seen Drew like for a lot longer than most people, but he really has just come into his own so much over the last like year or two. It's like he's just been so great, like so incredible. And I would love to see him, you know, win a title. For me, yeah, Drew wins and Randy heel turn. Never been high on Randy. Everyone that's watches all my predictions know how I feel about Randy Orton. He's just like bored me from like the moment he appeared. It's not even like a recent thing. I can't believe I'm watching him in 2025. If I could go back in time and tell younger me that, I'm not sure she would have stuck with wrestling if she knew that Randy Orton would still be running.
That's a real damning indictment of Randy Orton.
I know, he's just that guy that I just never got into him. Never, ever got into him. He's just, yeah.
He is facially starting to look more and more like his dad, Cowboy Bob, as years go on. Which is a shame because Randy Orton was a great twink back in his day. Do you know what I mean? And now he's that those days are gone. No, I'm sure he doesn't care, but you know,
I didn't even get that pleasure out of him, to be honest. Like I didn't even get that out of him.
I'm not saying I got pleasure, but I'm just saying he was a twink. He was whatever way you slice it.
Yeah.
I feel very bad that you know people watching this are gonna be like, what's a twink? Google it.
Google it at Randy Orton. Were you a twink? Confirm.
don't tell him that I said he looked like his dad. Well, he might take that as a compliment. So
he might take that as a compliment. But no, he's never been my guy. Drew McIntyre, yeah. I just want to see more of him always. So I'm glad he's back and yeah. And I'm glad were you ever not offended, but like at some of the really, really like Scottish baby facey things he was doing before. Oh, and actually, bigger question, was the American Pie singing bad? Because I said that was bad a few prediction show again. I said that it was like one of the worst things I'd ever seen. And there were people saying that was class.
Yeah, I think I can understand people who liked it and people who didn't like it. But I mean, in terms of the Scottish thing, I think he needed to go more overboard. Like, I think he needed to be coming out with Iron Brew. There needs to be a sponsorship. And for American people watching, Iron Brew is like the Scottish soda. It outsells Coca-Cola in Scotland. And it tastes kind of like bubblegum juice. That's what Americans have told me. So but it's very popular. And it's like bright orange. So yeah. I think a sponsorship with that. He should have had some haggis at some point. Like, just go for it. But yeah, I like the Scottish, like, over the top stereotypes. So it always hit for me. So, I mean, plus his name's Drew McIntyre. Like, we know he's really Scottish and he can put as much of an American twang on his accent as he wants, but he's still very, very Scottish.
Top Scottish hunk, I would say.
He was never a twink.
No, he was never drink. He was, yeah. All right, we've taken a turn here. Up next, LA Knight versus Seth Rollins. I'm just gonna pick Seth Rollins for this with everything he's doing with his unnamed stable. How do you feel about the Seth stable, the Seth Riders, as people are calling them?
The Seth Riders, my God. I am kind of amazed that we're in mid-July and we still don't have a name for the faction.
Yeah, that's crazy. Like, there must be something holding that up. It can't just be a lack of an imagination, you know?
Yeah. I think him winning the briefcase was a good shout. I think what they're doing on paper is good. I don't think it's necessarily clicking for me in the way that it should be yet, but maybe that's going to come. I like Bronson Reed with him. I like Bron Breakker with him. I like Heyman with him. But I don't know. It's like I'm ready for it to get to next gear. But yeah. I think Seth Rollins is going to win this one as well. But I think if LA Knight wins, it's a sign that something else is going to happen later in the night with the Money in the Bank briefcase.
Okay. Seth is a bit of my kind of my modern Randy Orton, as in how I feel about him.
You like Drew.
I like Drew.
Hate Seth, hate Randy. Who else do you like?
I wouldn't say hate. Maybe. You know, I like CM Punk. And I like Gunther. He's coming up. I like him. So I like Bron Breakker a lot. I think he's really good. But
I just wanted to even out the cup a little bit. So
I know. I just kind of getting bored with Seth. He can be very, very irritating. And I don't know. Maybe in 10 years' time, if I'm still like predicting Seth Rollins matches, that I may have hit my limit then.
I think you need to probably realize that that's probably more likely than not likely.
It is definitely likely. It is. All right. We've got the main event, Gunther versus Goldberg. Is Goldberg, has he done your tour?
We toured with Goldberg in 2017.
What was Goldberg like?
He's a lovely guy. He's very intense, but he is lovely. Like he
comes off as intense.
He is very intense, but he's one of those guys where if he's got stuff going on, he is kind of in his head and he's doing his own thing, and he can't fake, you know, being really, really overly friendly to you. He's not rude, but he's just not going to give you much. But then if he's in a good mood, he's great. Like when we did the end of our tour, we were doing like a photo backstage, and then as we were about to take the photo, he just kissed me in the head. I was going, sure. So there's this photo of me looking at the camera, like, and Goldberg just kissing the side of my head. So I think he had a good time.
Yeah, sounds like it.
I will say, out of all the people we've ever had, he's like one of the best with fans. Mm-hmm. In London, he did this, and it was only after I was like, please, I know you mean well, but please don't do that again. He put a fan in a jackhammer, like up in the air, like suplex. Had the guy up in a jackhammer for a photo op, and the guy loved it. But I was like, if he was to somehow drop the guy, then I would be in trouble. So
yeah,
I had to be like, can you please not jackhammer anyone else? But thank you for jackhammering that guy, because you made his life.
I would not take a jackhammer from Goldberg. That sounds really terrifying. So this is Goldberg's retirement match. And I feel like he could win it just because of his history of winning titles when he comes back to do a match. Like I feel like Gunther should win it, but I wouldn't be shocked if Goldberg wins it, not just because he does have that history, but also just to kind of steal some headlines on the weekend, like a shock thing, because it does feel like, because All In is such a big show, I think with this, like they are going to be fighting for attention, and it just wouldn't surprise me, like of all people, of all older guys, that Goldberg's the one that comes and wins the title. But what am I really on a limb here, or what do you think?
No, I think there's something in it. I think that they're in an interesting spot where they're in Atlanta. It's Goldberg's hometown. It's his potential last match. I think that if Gunther was just to beat him, then is that the way you're going to send the crowd home happy?
Yeah.
I mean, to me, what seems likely is I think Goldberg could win the title with help from Seth's crew, and then Seth cashes in on Goldberg and wins the title from him.
Yeah, but would that make fans like sad too, or would they be happy that they got to see a moment?
I think the moment's what people want to see. So I think people would be all about that. I think they'd be so happy to have seen a cash in. Mm-hmm. It's 10 years since his last cash in, so he's got that going for him. Yeah, I think. I mean, I would like to see Gunther win. I think that if Goldberg is going to win, then he has to be cashed in on after, because he's not going to be defending the title or anything.
Yeah. So. I think so too. I do think Goldberg's going to win. I'm not 100% if they'll do the cash in immediately, but I do think Goldberg's winning. And I do think that's going to be a big talking point the next day, that Goldberg won his title. I mean, I suppose he could retire it, but that's kind of lame and pointless when there's a briefcase out there.
I know that the former Baron Corbin, what's his name now, Bishop Dyer,
yeah,
he had said he thinks that Goldberg should win just to annoy everyone, which I found quite funny, that he just wants to troll people. I know a lot of people shit on Goldberg. I like him a lot. I think in WCW he was great. And I loved that WrestleMania match with Brock Lesnar in 2017, the 5-minute match they had. I thought it was excellent. Yeah. So I've liked some of the stuff he's done. I think some of the other booking, obviously the Fiend one was the most egregious in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I hope that whatever happens, he can go out on a high and it's good and that people remember it fun. And then people don't need to be annoyed anymore about him coming back because he's not going to come back after this.
I think as much as I love Gunther and as great as I think he is, if Goldberg wins the title, it won't be the most egregious time he's done that. I think the Fiend one would actually be worse than that, at least because it's like the end of his career and you have Seth with the Money in the Bank briefcase, it could make a lot more sense.
Yeah.
But that was Saturday night's main event, or Saturday night's man event, I guess, because Revolution. Why are they not branding it as that?
Saturday night's main event is great.
Saturday night's main event. We are now moving on to Evolution, a show that I really just think has suffered. Like we were talking about this, it just feels really like slapdash. But
breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
Tired of all the bugs in your yard? Enjoy your backyard again with Cutter Backyard. Ready to spray bug control at Menard. It kills mosquitoes, fleas, ticks, and other insects fast, controlling them for up to 12 weeks. A 32-ounce ready-to-spray container covers up to 5,000 square feet and is on sale now through July 13th. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
Together, they've done it in the same city as Beyonce that causes a lot of like problems with parking and shit and all that kind of stuff too. And yeah, I'm not really someone that thought they needed an Evolution, because I do think like the women get good spots in the card, but to decide to do it in this way, I just kind of think it's a bit of a fail. I do feel sorry for them.
Yeah, me too. I absolutely wanted an Evolution too. Along with DS Shin, who obviously from Ring the Bell, who has petitioned it with placards outside WWE headquarters for years, that he wants another one. So I'm with him. But yeah, I do feel bad for them because they're kind of in a no-win position. And I do just want to say very quickly, I know people in the comments mentioned that Kevin Owens, the Goldberg Kevin Owens thing from before. That was also bad too.
That was bad too. All right, first up, we have the NXT Women's Championship, Jessie Jane versus Jordynne Grace. Who have you got for this, Kenny?
I feel like Jordynne Grace has got to go up to the main roster fairly soon. So for me, it's Jessie Jane. She wins, gets a big win over Jordynne Grace, and then Jordynne Grace can make her way up to Raw SmackDown. How about you?
I'm going to go for Jordynne Grace to see what she ends up doing with the former Mariah May. Blake Monroe, darn it.
What name would you come up with? Someone said, right, Mariah May, she can't be called that anymore. What's the name? Give us a name.
I think it's hard because like Mariah May is her real name, and that's a really good real name if you want to be a wrestler. Like, you know, being called Mariah is really good. I don't know if I can think of better, but I just think Monroe is overplayed, you know, with blonde Monroe. I find that.
What about Mariah March? Just change the month.
Yeah, that would actually be better though than the Monroe thing, I think. Like I'm quite surprised she agreed to that name. And I know like she came up with the Blake bit herself. It's like her niece is called Blake or something. I don't like that either. I'd kind of be annoyed if someone took my name as a tribute to me. Like, you know, I that would kind of piss me off, but I'm sure she's a child. So, but I just think, because the Blake makes me think of Blake Lively. which makes me think of Blair Davenport being Blair from Gossip Girl and then Blake Lively starting Gossip Girl. And I feel like all these, like they've all watched Gossip Girl like years too late. You know what I mean? Like his wrestling's all in mind.
If Shawn Michaels is watching Gossip Girl, let's get a camera on that now. I want to see it.
But I just really don't like it. I think the Monroe thing is just, it's just so obvious. I would love them to, like, I don't know, come up with like other blonde movie stars. Like there are other ones. I don't know. Like, you know, like Jean Harlow or something. No, I don't think Mariah Harlow would work because that's too close to Harlot, I guess. And that's kind of Tony Storm.
Blake Harlow could be okay.
Yeah, it could be. I'm just not a fan of the name.
Do you think it's because you just want it to be Mariah May?
I do want it to be Mariah May. And I do think that I'm surprised she didn't fight to keep that because she's a very savvy person. And so many people have been able to keep their name recently. It's kind of like, it's touch and go whether you can, but some people have been able to. And I'm very surprised she didn't fight to keep. I'm actually very surprised with everything they've done with her since she's come in, but I'm surprised she didn't like fight to keep it.
I think it's one of those things where if you go there and they are going to change your name, it's difficult. You know, you've got to gauge what leverage you think you have. And if you don't, you have the leverage to keep, you know, it's like Ricky Saints.
Yeah.
Ricky. So, I mean, Ricky Saints to Ricky Starks is fine because it's so close. But yeah, maybe she just felt that, you know, they're going to let me keep the kind of gimmick that I've got. They're going to give me a nod to old school movies. So that's maybe the best I'm going to get. So I assume that's what happened.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to know like the story one day of all that happened, but I can't get on board with it yet. It's not the worst name I've ever heard, but I did feel a bit like, oh, when I heard it, like this is what we went with. Okay. okay, next we're going to go with Becky Lynch versus Bayley versus Lyra Valkyria for the Women's Intercontinental Championship. I'm going to go with Bayley on this one just because I feel like she hasn't been made to like look that great, and I'd like to see something for her, like for kind of a bigger purpose to all this, you know, her being taken out of Mania and stuff. So I'm going to say Bayley. How about you, Kenny?
I'm going to go with Becky. I think Becky is going to keep it because I just don't think the Bayley Lyra stuff is really hitting very well. I get the feeling that one of them is going to have to turn heel soon, because Becky's just a better heel. So I think that I think they're going to have to do something to shake it up. And Becky's just too good for me to take it out of her.
Yeah, I think Lyra would be a good heel. I think she could do that. And Bayley, it's hard to make people, you know, boo her because she's Bayley and everyone loves her. But yeah, but Becky is fucking great. Like, it's, you know, that's my country person. She's great. Always tries that.
Yeah, she came back again and is great again. It's like, yeah. I mean, you can't deny it.
Jade Cargill versus Naomi in a no holds barred match.
I don't know if you've read your WWE rulebook or your WWE booking publication, but in WWE booking, if you win a briefcase and you're not cashing in right away, then you're going to lose most of your big grudge matches.
Yes.
So if Naomi is the briefcase holder and she's not cashing in right now, it seems like it's Jade's night, right? Like Jade's going to beat her because it gives Jade a push. Naomi's still got the briefcase. That's kind of how they do it. So that's how I imagine this is going to play out. What do you think?
I could see Naomi cashing in tonight after losing this. I think this match is more important for Jade to win because Naomi has the briefcase. I think that Jade still being like relatively new, it would be good for her to kind of get this one over in Naomi so that then Naomi can go. Because I think Naomi will definitely win the title. So I think, yeah, have her lose here. That's fine.
Yeah.
Right. Next, we have a battle royal for a world championship match at Clash in Paris. And we have announced for it Stephanie Vaquer, Ivy Nile, Nia Jax, Nikki Bella, Natalia, Maxine Dupree, Kalani Jordan, Jada Parker, Lola Vice, Lash Legend, Izzy Dean, Tatum Paxley, Zelina Vega, Julia, and Candice LeRae. Kenny, any of them stand out to you as the winner?
I think the two realistic winners for me are either going to be Nikki Bella, which I know will annoy some people, mm-hmm. or Stephanie Vaquer. That's who I think would... I think it's got to be one of them for me.
Nikki is my favorite woman ever, not just in wrestling. I love Nikki. I think it's really, like, pretty bad putting her just in the battle royal after everything fell through with, like, Liv Morgan. I wish she was coming back to do, like, something better. I don't think I can see her winning it. I'm going to go for either Stephanie or Julia. I think they're obviously really high on Stephanie, so it's whether or not they think it's the time to give her that match. And if not, I would go with Julia as well. But I hope Nikki has a good showing in it, because I'm always happy to see Nikki in the ring.
And this is, you know, in a nod to SP3 in the comments, that this for me is a real indictment of how lazy this show feels.
Yeah.
A battle royal to determine the contender. It's just
for Clash in Paris as well. Like, no shade to Clash in Paris, but it's not as if it's, you know, to determine the contender for SummerSlam or something.
Yeah, I'm gonna steal Finn Martin, who I podcast with, who did Power Slam. He had a great idea, and I think this would be the way to do it if it's a fantasy booking scenario. I think it should come down to Stephanie Vaquer and Nikki Bella as baby faces, and then I think Nikki Bella should turn heel and eliminate Stephanie Vaquer. And then you've kind of got this, like, Nikki's a villain again because she's great at doing that.
Yeah.
Stephanie Vaquer was wronged in some way. You do it in a way that makes her feel wronged.
And say that, her name wrong again.
Yeah. Say my name wrong again. I actually felt really bad for her when she explained it on our podcast. But I think that would make it more interesting. But it doesn't feel like... You know, I've been in booking meetings for WCPW in the UK, which obviously is nowhere near as big as WWE or AEW or anything like that. But if that had been the idea, let's do a battle royal, I would have done everything I could to be like, no, let's do something else.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Battle royals are just like, they don't hit for me when the Royal Rumble exists. It's just, I would just stay away from them, like, in general. But it is what it is. Or Nikki Bella, I guess. Let's move on to Tiffany Stratton versus Trish Stratus for the Women's Championship. I'm just going to go for Tiffany Stratton here. I don't see Trish doing a title run. I'd like to see Tiffany win and Naomi cash in on her. I think would be pretty cool.
I could see that too. I think Tiffany, I mean, obviously Tiffany's going to win. It's one of the most obvious outcomes of the weekend. Not to be a Debbie Downer, but, you know, let me pull up a chair. I think for me, the thing that's really annoying is that I love Trish being back. Trish is great. Trish is one of my favourites. But to me, Trish should have come back 2 weeks ago and she should have turned heel on Tiffany Stratton. And that should have been the match. And it's like, there's a story. Because Trish 2 years ago was an amazing heel against Becky. It was so great. So I would have done that again. Whereas I feel like this is kind of like you're going in and people love Tiffany and they love Trish. So who are they supposed to root for? I think you could have made it more interesting by adding the heel dynamic. So
I feel like this should have been a bigger match, just with the kind of the physical similarities between them. I mean, it's something people have been fantasy booking, like, shout out DS again. He's been on this one. And it just feels like it could have been bigger if there was more put into this show. I think it would have been a bigger deal.
Yeah. And, you know, Tiffany was always going to retain, but I just think her against heel Trish would have been more, you know, Shawn Michaels did that 1 month heel run in 2005 against Hogan. You know, Trish could have done it for 3 weeks and, you know, it would have been really good. She could have come back and done more stuff. So it's just another kind of wasted opportunity, unfortunately.
Yeah. Okay, then for the Women's Tag Team Championship, we've got the Judgment Day, Raquel and Roxanne versus Charlotte and Alexa versus Sol Ruka and Zarya versus the Kabuki Warriors, Asuka and Kairi Sane. I'm going to go with Charlotte and Alexa for this one, just because I feel like this pairing's been quite shoved down our throats and... It has to be for a reason. They're not two wrestlers that I, you know, I'm a fan of, really. Like, I don't care for either Charlotte or Alexa, but they've been doing this. And I think, yeah, I could see them win and then eventually break up and feud or something. But I think that's got to be the reason for all of this.
I find it very hard to care about the WWE Women's Tag Team titles. Yeah. So for the purposes of just spending my life doing things that I enjoy, I agree with you. Sure. Mm-hmm. Charlotte, yeah. Alexa.
Charlotte and Alexa.
Let's go for that.
All right. And finally, Io Sky versus Rhea Ripley. Who have you got for this one, Kenny, for the Women's World Championship?
I feel like this is going to be Rhea Ripley's night because Io's beaten her a few times. I feel like to do it again feels like it would be because Rhea's going to win. But there's cash-in implications that could come out of it, so that might play into it. But yeah, I think Rhea's going to win. She, you know, she's like she should be the star they focus on the most. So I'm going to say Rhea and hopefully put her on the magazine cover with her holding the belt up. So Rhea, win the match so we can get a good cover for next month, please.
Yeah, I think Rhea too. When Io beat her, that was such a shock thing. And I think that with this being Evolution 2, Rhea really does seem like the biggest star in the women's division, like the future and present of the women's division. So I think ending that show with her holding a title will make a nice picture, not just for Inside the Ropes, but for everyone, for WWE to have forever. And I think that's the way to go.
Also, and Rhea Ripley tweeted this today, and I feel like people should know this already. I'm just going to speak for women here, mm-hmm. even though I'm not a woman. But do not send stuff to wrestlers, especially female wrestlers, home addresses.
I saw that. That's crazy. Wild.
Who thinks that's okay?
It's no. Insane. Yeah, it's very wild. There's a lot of people that overstep the mark, and wrestlers seem to be talking about it a lot more now, especially the female wrestlers, and it's just... yeah, it's not good. But Perlia, that must be so scary to receive a package from a fan and knowing that they know where you live, especially with what has happened, you know, previously with Sonya and everything. It's, yeah. God.
I don't even want to talk to a wrestler when I meet them in a lift. Because I'm like, it's their time. I don't want to bother them. Like, I was last year All In, I was going to do press. Or no, it was the year before. And I went in to do press, one of the years, and I'm in the lift, and Christian gets in the lift. And uh-huh. I've never seen him before. And in my mind, I was just like, what am I going to say?
Yeah.
Like, what would I even say? Hi, nice to meet you. Like, you know, like, he's, you know, when you see these wrestlers in hotels, you can just see the look on their face like, oh, my God, I have to do another interaction. So, yeah, I can't even imagine in your brain what happens. They go, I'm going to find this person's home address and then send them something. Even if it's a nice thing.
Yeah.
It's just like... it's creepy. Don't do it.
Yeah, I feel this. Well,
I think anyone who's watching this would do that, by the way. I'm not.
No, of course. Yeah, I feel the same. It's I don't think there's anything any of us would have that great to say that you need to do it. You know, like you need to like bother someone or impose yourself on someone. But yeah, that is way too far. What happened to Rhea? But yes, everyone. Keep your distance, give people space. Like, yeah. Yeah. And again, how did they even find, even the fact that they found her address means that they did some really, really dodgy sleuthing to get that.
Yeah. That information, I mean, I've never looked for someone's home address, but I assume it's not easy to find. So,
yeah, I assume.
Yeah. Bad vibes.
Yeah. All right, Kenny, are you ready to move on to AEW? I think everyone wants us to talk about AEW, and it is the big show of the weekend. But look, it's not our fault that WWE counter-programmed, okay? It's not our fault that we had, what was that, about 16 matches to get through before All In weekend. But
if you at the last minute try and say we're also doing Ring of Honor, I'm going to have to leave because I've got like a match maximum that I can do in my brain. I can't do more than 30.
Okay, no, we will not be doing Ring of Honor, guys, because we'd probably be here till tomorrow. What about NXT? You up for that? I'm joking. We're not doing NXT.
I'm not prepared for this. I came on only expecting AEW All In, but you know, and yeah, okay, 8 matches. I can do 8 matches. That's fine.
8 matches, All In. Let's go. Let's start with a 3-way tag team match for the tag team championship. We have the Hurt Syndicate, Bobby Lashley and Shelton Benjamin versus Jet Speed, Kevin Knight, and Speedball Mike Bailey versus the Patriarchy, Christian Cage, and Nick Wayne. Do you want to kick it off, Kenny? Who have you got for this?
Sure. I think I'm going to go with the Hurt Syndicate, but I am a massive Patriarchy fan. Mm-hmm. So I would be more than happy for the Patriarchy to win. I don't think Jet Speed are quite hit the speed to become the tag champs yet, but the Hurt Syndicate have, I think, done a great job with the tag titles and with making them feel a big deal again. So I'm very happy with that. I think the Hurt Syndicate, for me, are probably going to retain it, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Patriarchy took it. What do you think?
I think that the Hurt Syndicate recently have shown like a little bit of weakness, more so than they had before. But I think they're going to retain because they've got all the stuff going on with MJF. I think Christian wants to tell a bigger story with Nick Wayne that I think will be what he ends up doing. And probably with Edge, Adam Copeland as well. He's in
we can see the seeds of that starting.
He's in my Randy Orton, Seth Rollins bracket is old Edge, Adam Copeland. But Christian isn't. I do like Christian a lot. So I think the Hurt Syndicate retain. And I think that Jet Speed, Kevin, or Mike are there to take the pin, really, unfortunately.
Yeah. But you know, I mean, Speedball Mike Bailey, I've got to give him props. When he was coming into AEW, I kind of worried for him a little bit in terms of how he was going. But he has had some great matches. He has really shown himself. He's been in there with Omega and Ricochet, and he's done a great job. So I think that he's really found his feet in AEW.
Yeah, he's a great wrestler. I think the gimmick is hard for some people to get over at first because he is kind of goofy. It is a bit of a goofy, strange gimmick, but I think he's done a great job, and I think he always proves himself in the ring. So I think he's had a good run. But yeah, Hurt Syndicate for me as well. Okay, for the TNT Championship, Adam Cole versus Kyle Fletcher. I'm going to go with Kyle Fletcher for this one. I think that Kyle has had one of the most incredible rises I've ever witnessed. He's someone that I knew from working at Rev Pro. And I first met him during the pandemic and stuff. So seeing him now on TV, this is quite very wild, seeing him become a big star in this way. I think he's awesome. Adam Cole has not had a good AEW run at all, I think. And I almost feel like that he's maybe phasing out or something. He's not the one for me. Every good thing we can say about how Kyle Fletcher or even a Speedball has done AEW, I don't think can be said for Adam Cole. So I'm going with Kyle Fletcher for this one. How about you, Kenny?
Yeah, I'm also going for Kyle Fletcher as well. But I feel it's almost the opposite effect, because I think when Adam Cole came into AEW in September 2021, All Out, I think he had a great first kind of almost 2 years in the company. He did really well, and that storyline with MJF, their partnership was so great. And then that jump at Grand Slam that buggered his ankle, when he came back, it was just all the hotness of that angle was gone. And I think he's struggled to kind of get anything back. Whereas Kyle Fletcher, I love when this happens in wrestling, but I remember when Kyle Fletcher came into AEW and I was just like, this guy's not for me. I just don't get it. I don't get what's going on. And he changed his look. He started carrying himself like a big star. He has just completely changed my mind on what I thought he could be. Mm-hmm. So I think he's done an amazing job of not only we were talking about Mike Bailey in the ring, but Kyle Fletcher's done the character work. He's done the work to try and, sometimes I feel like he has a bit of a Conor McGregor swag about him that he tries to show off. And I think that's In a lot of ways, don't ever be like Conor McGregor. But, you know, if you're going to take something, the swag is not a bad thing to take. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think Kyle Fletcher as well.
Yeah, I was not a fan of the Adam Cole MJF stuff. So, unfortunately, I've been down on Adam Cole. I don't know when the first thing he did that put me down on him was, but it was before.
You didn't like the Adam Cole and MJF stuff? I think you're the first person I've met that didn't like that. I feel like everybody on earth liked it.
You're the first person I've met that liked it.
Really?
Yeah, seriously.
The partner, the Adam Cole MJF partnership.
Yeah.
Okay. I feel like people need to get in touch. Like who's the person that's delusional? Am I delusional?
Everyone will agree with you. Like
no, it's for sure.
No. They will agree with you because I've mentioned how I felt about MJF Adam Cole before, and it's not gone down well. It just wasn't for me. Like some things, you know, aren't for you. I think it was the vignettes. I'm not high on comedy wrestling. I don't think wrestler. No, I can't say that. I think most wrestlers are not funny.
Wait. What were you? Because you've had a lot of opinions. What were you not going to say there? I'm very curious.
I was going to say that I don't think wrestlers are funny, point blank. And I was going to say that me and you are from the same side of the world, right? And comedy over here is different to American comedy. And I've never been that into American. Like, I'm not a big fan of like Friends or Big Bang Theory or whatever. I don't find those things that funny. And I just, when wrestling does comedy, I think 99% of the time it doesn't hit for me.
Okay. I mean, you know, can I swear on this? I'm not allowed to swear.
You're allowed to swear, yeah.
Fuck Adam Cole's drag, right? Like, I mean, he's getting all the shit from you today. My God.
But
Adam Cole, why are you in the wrestling business? Just quit before the pay-per-view. You don't need to be here.
Hey, are you watching All Stars?
I am, yes. I'm very, very into it.
I've been so angry watching it the past couple of episodes.
Justice for Nicole Paige Brooks.
Justice for everyone, bar Ginger Minge. Justice for Acid Betty. Like, it's been a very, very frustrating watch.
We could do an hour on this easy. It would not even, without any prep.
Ginger Minge is reminding me of like Roman Reigns before he turns heel. I'm just like, what is going on here?
I wish that somebody could just put a photo of Ginger Minge up right now, but sadly we can't. Anyway, yeah, so look, Adam Cole, you're worthless and you shouldn't be here. That's basically Stephanie's message to you. So no, I'm kidding.
That's not true. He's a really nice guy. He's one of the only wrestlers I feel bad about when I say that I don't enjoy their stuff, because he does seem really sweet. And anytime I've interviewed him, he's really sweet. And everyone says he's really sweet. So it does feel like saying something bad about a puppy. Like I feel genuinely bad when I say that I don't think Adam Cole's had a great run.
I think if he turns heel and has a proper heel run again and is able to, I don't know, maybe use part of the, you know, your disdain for him currently to get himself over, then, you know, why not? Give it a go.
I hope Adam Cole is watching and is inspired by my comments.
I mean, if Adam Cole's watching, it's not the best way. Like, stop watching Adam. You know, you're trying to get amped up for Saturday, not listening to this. But yeah, and then we also both think you're going to lose your title, so it's not a great day for Adam Cole. But
yeah, and justice for Daniel Garcia always. Just throw that in there.
Another twink.
Yes, he is. Now I saw him come out of a lift once, and I was. Like, I couldn't speak. Say anything.
Not good.
Yeah, I was just like, you know, I could have envisioned having this moment and saying something, but when it actually happened, I was like, you know what? I have nothing.
Yeah, he's a very good-looking man. He's someone who I think that because there's just so many people in AEW, he has always kind of suffered from being like a guy that they're almost going to really put their eggs in his basket. But I thought him and Nigel's match with FTR last month was great. I really liked that. And look, he's a he's going to be shagging it anything he wants. So who cares? He's earning money. He can shag whoever he wants. The worst places to be.
Gee, I'm sure Daniel Garcia is having a charmed life right now on the road.
Did you see that photo? I don't know if it's real. Was there not that photo of him in a bar? Well, not a bar. It was like a... And there was somebody doing a dance for him. And he was like...
Was that not Hook?
Was it Hook? I thought it was Daniel Garcia. Well...
If there's one of Daniel, I haven't seen it. I've seen one of Hook.
Okay, maybe it's a Hook one where there was like a female dancer's butt in said wrestler's face. And they were just like sitting back, like chilling, loving what they were watching.
I do think that was Hook, but you can let us know in the comments if you're up on photos of wrestlers.
I don't know. Okay, it was Hook. I don't know how you Google who that was. Maybe you just, anyway, somebody's found out.
It was Hook. Thank you, guys. Okay, next up, let's talk about Swerve Strickland and Will Ospreay versus the Young Bucks. Now, this has stipulations. If Ospreay and Strickland lose, they cannot challenge for the AEW World Championship for 1 year. And if the Young Bucks lose, they will be stripped of their EVP titles. Wow, Steve.
Being stripped of a fake title, you can't beat it.
I know. I would like, I don't think the Young Bucks should have ever been like in canon character EVPs, or neither should Kenny or anyone. So I would like them not to have those titles, but the not being able to challenge for a year thing, to me, it makes sense for Swerve and Will. Based on what I hope is going to happen in other matches, because if we're doing Wembley again next year, if All In is at Wembley, isn't that the time for Will Ospreay to challenge for the championship? So I feel like, I mean, I'm so glad it's like for 1 year, not that terrible Cody stipulation where he could never challenge again for the title. So I'm glad that they've like reined it in. But for me, like it gets them like, kind of get out of jail cards with both Swerve and Will if you want to keep them out of the title picture doing this.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm going to go for the EVPs, the Young Bucks.
So I've always had a thing where the Young Bucks, for me, for my style of what I watch in wrestling, they've not been for me. I understand them. I understand the appeal. I understand why they're so successful.
Well, it's like me and Cole and MJF.
Yeah. So we've all got our things that we just, you know, are not for us. And for me, it's more just, I found in the past that in their matches, I don't really enjoy them, right? They're just not for me. But I have to say, and then I thought the last year, one of the worst parts of AEW last year, only because I liked the initial angle and they didn't follow up, was when they had the Young Bucks and Jack Perry beat up Tony Khan. And
yeah.
They were gonna run the company, then it just kind of didn't go anywhere. That was like,
wild. That was such a big swing to do that to Tony Khan, and then to not make it go anywhere was very wild and like very strange.
Yeah, it felt like we were going into kind of like almost Attitude Era type stuff of having characters who weren't wrestlers, and I was all for it, but they just didn't follow up. But I've got to say that. And I'm not saying this for effect, but last month at Double or Nothing was my favorite Young Bucks performance of all time.
Wow.
I thought when they came out and they really went with the Founding Fathers thing, it was really funny. I thought they hammed it up great. I thought they were great in the match. I thought they added a lot to it. So I really loved them there. I think with this... The EVP thing, you're right, it doesn't really mean anything, so it's not really... but at the same time, if they were... It feels like there's maybe a bit more juice in them as these Founding Father characters, whereas with Swerve and Ospreay, I think that, yeah, you're right. I was going to say Swerve and Ospreay would win, but you've turned me with the fact that the 1 year will just about hit for All In at Wembley that Ospreay can be a challenge again. So, yeah, I think that is going to be the Bucks winning. So
I think even though the titles are so silly, they kind of need them for this gimmick, even though they haven't even, I don't know, that whole thing with Tony was so bad in like the follow-up, because it wasn't usually the kind of thing that I'd go in for, but I was really like, yeah, I'm willing to give this a chance, like, let's do it attitude here. And then just like
not in a bad way, but, and I mean no disrespect to this person because I like them, but Christopher Daniels was not the guy to be Tony's. Like, that should have been like a big name, like a big name who doesn't wrestle, you know, like, so, you know, somebody, you know, Chuck Money, you should have got Batista in to do it. He would have come in and done it. You know, he would have just like come in once a month for the money you could have paid him to, you know, mess with WWE. But yeah, it should have been somebody who was like a name. And I just feel like Daniels was put in a tough spot.
Yeah, he was. He didn't fill the role. He didn't have that kind of charisma or presence that was needed for it. And he was too similar, like in looks, to Adam. Oh my God, I've forgotten his name. Why is his name left my head? The gentleman, Adam Pearce. Yeah, it was too close to that, you know, like physically. And it was just, yeah, it was a really odd choice to get him in for that, I thought.
Then in some ways, that stuff and the kind of negative reaction to the follow-up to that stuff, I think, is maybe what has made, you know, the TV in the last 6 months get more tighter and better storytelling. So yeah, I think overall it's good now, and the Young Bucks, you know, I can't believe I'm in a world where I'm enjoying the Young Bucks, but there we are, you know, things happen. Stockholm Syndrome's real, folks.
All right, do you want to talk about some gauntlets? We have two gauntlet matches. The women are getting one too. We'll start with the Women's Casino Gauntlet. This is for a future AW Women's World Championship match. And we know that Chris Statlander and Megan Bain are the first and second entrants. We can kind of speculate on who all the other entrants will be. People like Queen Amanada, Thekla that we've been seeing, Willow Nightingale, all the ladies that get one match every couple of months from that point. Yes, Vass, we both predicted the Bucks would win, just looking at the comments here. Okay, so I think for this one, the women's match, I think it's pretty hard to predict, but I'm going to say, even though I don't think it will happen, but because I want it to happen, and maybe it will make everything that's happened in the past couple of years feel a bit better, I'm going to go for Athena coming in because it's Texas, and I'm going to go for that because I think Thunder Rosa will beat her at the Ring of Honor show that we're not predicting, but prediction to that. And I think they'll give Athena something here and like this moment in Texas. And that's how I want to win, because I feel like this Athena Ring of Honor stuff is just so wild that she's been kept there for so long. And there's like so many different excuses for it, but it's been so long now that I don't think there's any excuse I'll accept. I just think Athena wins this and then goes on to actually be a main woman on the AEW roster. That's what I want to see. What about you, Kenny? And who can you see even being in it? Any surprises, anything fun like that?
I mean, obviously there was the big chat recently about Britt Baker, right? And what's happening with her. I mean, are they going to be able to make something work where she comes and does this match? It'd be cool to see her. I think Willow Nightingale's a good shout. She's going to be in it. I don't think it's going to be Athena. I would like it to be. I really would. But I think Willow Nightingale is probably my pick because, you know, she's she had a really good show in the Anarchy in the Arena last month at Double or Nothing. So I feel like she'd be a good pick. I don't really know, because obviously Jamie Hayter's out, right? She's injured, so she can't come back in it. I don't really know who else would come in.
What about someone like Shotzi, who's a free agent? I think she's working the GCW show in the area.
I think Shotzi could be in it, but I don't think she'll win it.
No, I think
that she. But I think she could be in it. But I mean, yeah, the Britt Baker thing is me just doing a total long shot. But you know, Tony sort of denied the story that came out about her leaving. So if she's still there, like, put her to work.
I think if she isn't in it, then I'm totally on this side of like, there is something, you know, going on. Like, I know he was asked about it. and he never answers questions anyway. But he, you know, he's like trying to put that to bed a bit. And I just feel like if she's not in this, then I just don't expect to see her again, because it's been so long. And the last time we saw her was that whole Who Cares Serena Deeb thing. And before that, she had the match with Mercedes that wasn't great. So I kind of feel like if Britt comes out at All In, then, you know, it was something else. It was some kind of work or whatever. But if not, I just don't expect to see her again, which is sad.
Also, if there's a way to fix it and bring her out, it's a great surprise if she can be there. But also, yeah, I think you're right. If she's not there, then you kind of have to assume that she is not coming back.
Yeah.
But I also, I would love the Athena thing to happen. She has been, she should not have been in Ring of Honor. It reminds me of that time when Bayley was left in NXT for like a year too long.
Yeah.
And you know, it's like 3 years too long, or however long it's been. It feels like it's been years.
Yeah. I think that, I mean, like, so Ian says in the chat, Thunder Rosa going to Ring of Honor, is that a step down? Like, I don't think so, because I think how Ring of Honor can serve a very good purpose for the women's division, because they don't get as many matches as for the men. I think Thunder Rosa's kind of been hard to place in the AEW main women's division with everything. So making her like the woman down in Ring of Honor, I think would be pretty cool. But I just want to see Athena being like in this top mix. And yeah, I don't think there's any justification for how long they've kept her there. And with it being in Texas, I'd love to see her win. I hope they give Hyena a spot. I think she's wrestling the Ring of Honor show. And I'd love to see her be on an AEW pay-per-view like that. But yeah, I think I'm, as much as I don't have faith in Tony when it comes to these things, I'm just going to predict Athena.
It's a good prediction. I hope it happens.
Okay, for the men's gauntlet, we know that Mark Briscoe and MJF will be the first and second entrants, and we're also getting in there Bandido, Brody King, Mystico, and Ricochet as other entrants. What do you think, Kenny? Is this all about Mark and MJF?
I feel like it is. I mean, I think there obviously will be surprises in there, but I think it's going to be one of them. My gut says MJF, even though I think Mark Briscoe would be a great story, because obviously, you know, MJF gave him that zinger last night on TV, which, you know, some people will think is too far. I think if people agree to things, then fine. But I think I'm going to go with MJF. I'm going to go with what I think is the kind of straightforward answer. I think it's MJF. What about you?
Do you see any surprises for this? I can't think of any other men that are in the same position as like a Shotzi Blackheart being out there.
The only person I was thinking was, I mean, would Matt Cardona do it if he's kind of doing the TNA stuff and maybe politically doesn't want to do it? But I think he would be a good one to be in there. I would love them to do like a random back in the day. Like, I'm not saying like Tatanka or Bushwhacker look or something, but just have some like a legend that's like so old school that just comes in and does a quick, you know, couple of minutes. Like, I'd like to see some sort of surprise like that.
I know on Grapple, I think this was because of StarCast, they said Monty Brown come in and do a pounce, because I think he's at StarCast and that they thought that would be fun. So like a spot like that would be good.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at the comments. I mean, I mean, is Eddie Kingston ready to come back? Is he someone who...
I don't know. I think he's close. He's been gone for so long. And, like, I'd love to see him come back. I think things are better when he's around. I don't know if this would be the time, like, the match for him to reappear in. Jay White, obviously, my fave. Yeah, I hope he comes back. But if they're going to put Jay White in it, then I would have to say that he has to win. That's just how I feel.
Hammerstone's a good show as well. I mean, I think that, and I think I don't think they would put Cope in it. I don't think they would put him in. I actually do like with Nigel McGuinness. I like the idea of them doing almost that Royal Rumble thing where he's sitting at commentary and he takes his stuff off and gets in. Mm-hmm. But I hope that with the pacing of the show, I almost think open with one of the gauntlets and just like have, you know, maybe have one first and half one on midway through the show, because I feel like you don't want to put one of those on late, because people might choose, people might, I just think it's better to have them in the first half of the show.
I'd like to see them open with the women's one, because they rarely get like opening match spot, and I think it'd be good to give them that where the crowds are for it. And yes, I'd like to see Michael Oku in that as well, Vaz. I think he's got his US visa and everything sorted. I think he's over there at the meantime. So yeah, I would like to see him in it too. But yeah, I think it's going to be...
Get Tony Schiavone in there. I stand by that. Wow.
Get Schiavone in there. All right, next up, we're going to go with Okada versus Kenny Omega. So this is described as a winner-takes-all match to unify the Continental Championship and the International Championship into the inaugural AW Unified Championship. But then Tony did say in the conference call that there would be three belts. The winner would have three belts. So who knows if we're actually adding a belt rather than merging two, because he seemed to not think say it was a merger. And it's quite strange. But there's lots of belts on the line for this one. And a lot of history with Okada and Kenny, and a lot that they have to live up for. So, gosh, this is going to be a really interesting match, because Kenny obviously had the diverticulitis and is coming back from all of that. And Okada, he's not coming back from anything, but he's morphed into a different person. It's like hard to know what he's going to be like. And I think that this match, everyone is anticipating it to be as good as their previous encounters, which were very long and epic and highly regarded. But yeah, I mean, what do you think of the build to it and your expectations with all that going into it?
I think the build is tough, because you can't really do... I mean, it's a tough sell, because you don't really want to make it like it's going to be as good as the ones from 2018 or 2017. But I think, I mean, Okada has been a weird performer in AEW. Mm-hmm. Sometimes he turns up on TV and he has these like perfectly serviceable TV matches, which more resemble Shinsuke Nakamura than they do Okada. But he has, on big pay-per-views, he has pulled out a bit more and a bit more. So I think this is going to be really good. I think people will rave about it. But I think Omega's got to win it. Like, Omega's back. He's obviously got another run on him. He's shown this year that he's still got it in the ring. So I think, for me, it's Omega. How about you?
Yeah, for me, it's Omega too. I think that they're going to go in a different direction with this match. I think it's going to be a violent and bloody match. I think Kenny's going to cough up some blood. And I think that's going to... It's going to be much shorter than some of their previous encounters. I think the only way they can do this is to make it completely different. And even though there's a Texas death match later in the night, like, Tony likes to double book. Like, he doesn't care about having lots of blood and violence in one match when the main event's going to have it. I just think I can't see them doing something that is close to the other matches they've had before. I see them kind of taking it in a different route. And I think it might end up then being divisive for people. You know, I think Dave will still write it, like, rate it over 5 stars, like, whatever. But I think for most people, like, they may not be getting what they expect, because I think that with Okada, I think a lot of people have, like, worked themselves into thinking that what Okada has been like a really long, long, long work for him to finally, at this specific match, be like 5-star Tokyo Dome Okada. And I'm not sure that it exists anymore.
Put it this way, like, they're in front of 25,000 people, the biggest North American gate they've ever had. Mm-hmm. If there's a time that he is going to be able to pull it out of the bag, this is the time.
Yeah,
that's the same. He's gonna be able to do it. Well, I mean, it's difficult though, because when Danielson and McGuinness had their match at Grand Slam, mm-hmm. it wasn't what their old matches were. But that was like 20 years before. Whereas, you know, we're talking, when was the last Okada Omega match? I don't know if anybody can tell us. Was it maybe 7 years ago?
Yeah, about that. I think it was
7 years ago. So it's not impossible, and you know they're very familiar with each other, but. I think it's going to deliver, But I also think that if you, from what you're saying, if people have not enjoyed Okada's run so far or think it's been underwhelming, I don't think they're going to turn around and go, it's the old Okada back.
Yeah.
But I think people who have felt his run has been great will think that the old Okada is back. So I think it depends how you view it.
Yeah. I think it will be good, though. I think it will be good. And yeah, I'm going for Omega. And I hope that they have just unified the titles, and there's too many belts in this company. I don't know why. You know, I don't want to see Per Kenny carrying three belts, you know.
That's a lot. I think even if they're not unified initially, I think they will be at some point soon.
Yeah. All right, moving on, we have for the women's championship, Toni Storm versus Mercedes Moné. Kenny, are you a Toni Storm fan?
Well, if you'd asked me that question 3 years ago, I would have said no. I'd have said, she's just a kind of generic character. I don't know if anybody in wrestling has ever turned it around more than her, ever. Mm-hmm. Man, woman, she is committed to the character to a point where she looks like she should be committed to a mental hospital. She's amazing. I think she should be the one to beat Mercedes Moné. I think it should be her. I don't think there's anybody else that it should be. Like, look at how big this moment's going to be, this match at All In. Have her beat Mercedes Moné. She's, you know, look at me, Blake Monroe, we talked about earlier. Her getting that run in NXT now and getting that job is because of the Toni Storm feud and what she did. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm the biggest Toni Storm fan. She's probably my favorite act in AEW. How about you? Are you a Toni Storm fan?
I am, yeah. Toni Storm, like, you know, we've touched on Drag Race, and I'm sure some people listening have not known what we've been saying about minges and stuff, but this is drag, what Toni Storm is doing, because I saw like glimpses, I don't really look at X, of like people talking about, you know, like Tony, like who is actual like Toni Storm. And from what I'd seen of her before, and people that I know that know her or have hung out with her before this run, I think that she was a very shy person, really, and that wasn't really finding the best way to express themselves as a wrestler. She was quite boring and generic in WWE and before that, and nothing about her really felt authentic. So I think that's why, yeah, like this is her drag persona. You know, this is what she's doing. She's like Chapel Road of wrestling or whatever. Like, she has embodied this character in a way, and it's allowed her, when she is dressed up as Toni Storm, she can do or say whatever she likes. It feels like very much like that to me, of her taking on this character, and it's been wild transformation. And like you said, I've never seen anyone pull something like this out of themselves from what they were like before. It's crazy. So
because it wasn't like before people were going, oh, Toni Storm as a character, the potential's there, she's just not really. People had written her off as a character, and then she just, yeah, like you say, she pulled this thing out that you're just like, where did this come from?
People really had her as that kind of like Serena Deeb type, where it's like good wrestler, solid matches, but like this is, you know, not a character, like that type of person. And yeah, this just, I think that, and I think maybe like more wrestlers could benefit like thinking about this more. I think she just had to completely transform herself, like physically, voice, everything, into someone else in order to just fully have the confidence to go out and say and do these things on TV. And it's been great and amazing. But I don't think she's going to win. I do think it's going to be Mercedes. And I would much rather it be Toni Storm. Like, I think Mercedes has improved a lot in AEW, but she's still like not someone I'm excited to watch that much. I liked her much more in WWE. I would rather see Toni Storm go, because I see Toni Storm as an AEW wrestler. When I talk about ex-WWE wrestlers, like, she's not someone I include in that, even though she was there. She, to me, like, it's like Swerve. Their run was so unremarkable that I can't, you know, put them in the same bracket as some of the other people that spent years in WWE.
It's like FTR. FTR made such a name for themselves as FTR that you don't think of them as former WWE guys.
Yeah, yeah. There's some people like that, and like this Toni Storm is nothing like we ever saw in WWE. But yeah, I think Mercedes will win it, and that's not really what I want. But I think the only way I'd feel really great about it is if they do the Mercedes Athena match. But I think Mercedes would probably win that too. So
I think in wrestling, you've always, I think the smartest thing is to always think about when can you get the biggest reaction to something or to do something. And I feel like Toni Storm beating her All In would be this huge moment. But yeah. If they don't do it and Mercedes wins, and then 6 months down the line, Athena beats her, maybe it will be proved that that was the right decision. But for right now, sure. I'm betting on Toni.
Okay. I hope Toni wins as well, and I hope they give her something good to do next with it, because it's such a character, and you know, and we missed out on like the second part of her and Mariah May, so yeah, I hope she gets something good. All right, finally we have the main event. It's John Moxley versus Hangman Adam Page, a Texas death match for the AEW World Championship. I fucking hope Hangman Page wins, is all I can say. Like, I love Hangman. He's my guy. He's my main character in AEW. And I think the Moxley stuff, although it's improved, he's not for me. He's really not for me. I want this to be over. I hope to God they're not waiting for Darby Allin. He can face Moxley in a loser leaves AEW match for all I care. I would rather see that. I just want it to be Hangman. I feel like it has to be Hangman. I really want to be put out of my misery. I can't take any more John Moxley. I don't think I can take any more of him again, like ever. I think
you don't want to see any more.
Seriously, this whole thing I disliked so much that he's like, I'm done with him. I think he should rejoin the Shield.
I'm going to try really hard, because I'm on camera, to say what I'm about to say in as nice a way as I can say it. I think if you were to say to me that I could either watch one more year of John Moxley's AEW World Champion or stop watching wrestling, I would stop watching wrestling. I can't do it. And you go on X and people think he's the best wrestler that's ever lived. And I think I like his character. I like his promo. I like the way he carries himself. But then he gets in the ring and it's this kind of pseudo shoot bullshit that just doesn't do anything for me. I thought he was better in WWE.
Yeah.
As a wrestler, when he was shackled, I thought he was better. And for me, for what I like in wrestling, I know a lot of people like him. But I mean, the thing is, I have seen a lot of people who are big AEW supporters, whether it's in media or fans, we're all fans, but you know what I mean, media or fans, who have said that this is a dud, this run is the Death Riders. And they are the Death Riders because it's death. It's death to entertainment. It's death to interest in things. It's just... No thanks.
I wouldn't be on the same page on this.
I know. Well, I just, because it's not, but it would be one thing if people were saying, I really like John Moxley. But people are, excuse my language, but people are jizzing over this as if it's the best thing that's ever happened in wrestling. And it's not. And yeah, you know, I'm with in the comments, you know, you and Claudio. Like, I mean, look, the one good thing to come out of the Death Riders is Wheeler Yuta's swag and hairstyle. That's the only thing. Nothing else. It's just... And other people like it. So I'm really trying to not go fully on how I feel about this. I don't like it. I do not like it. I would take the Brooklyn Brawler as the AEW World Champion over John Moxley at the moment. So Hangman Adam Page, please do most of us who have taste a favor and end this fucking reign of doom. Triple H's reign of doom was bad, but number two is John Moxley, the Death Riders.
Yeah, I feel that.
He reminds me of, if you were to go to like an acting class or something. If you're yes. an actor, and you're like, I just want to, you know, make some money and shag some birds and make some movies. And there's that one wank in the corner who's going, you know, I just love the art of it. I love the art of, you know, doing my craft. That's what it is. And your craft's rubbish, pal. I'm so sorry. Yeah, I feel like I've said what I think.
I don't like the promos. I think it's word salad. I think it's the kind of thing that people criticize Bray Wyatt for, you know, just like meaningless garbage, but not as well like delivered. I don't think he's elevated anyone like Claudio Wheeler as well. I think it's just, it's so miserable. There's no fun. He is so miserable. I also think that it's a selfish run by him. Like, I really do think that he was unhappy with stuff and stepped up with this idea of, like, what if I am the savior? Because he thinks that. Like, I'm out on him in general.
What is he saving us from?
Well, that's the problem, because he spent so long basically like telling us that we're all watching something that's completely shit, you know, too. And then only for him to do these shit matches where it's all just like...
But you know how, like, I feel like with Moxley, I actually thought the Double or Nothing Anarchy in the Arena, that was the best thing he's been involved in like ages. But I think it's one of those things where he... Like, you wrestlers sometimes have in the past said, you know, we should be able to come up with ideas and be more creative and be more involved in what we do. And for some wrestlers, that's 100% the case. And they are so much better when they can do their own stories. Some people should just be told what to do.
Yeah. Some people are not as smart, creative, deep as they think they are. And I'll leave that at that. With Moxley, I predicted at the start of the year that I think like this is it for Moxie in AEW. And I like stand by that. I think that once this is over, there's nowhere else for him to go. I think this, for him personally, this was his big thing that he wanted to do. And I don't think that it has changed things in the way he wanted it to, because it feels like the story was watered down a lot at some point just because it was not working. Like, it has gotten better. Now, I don't think it's gotten that much better, but I know people that are like, it's been a lot better the past couple of months. And I'm like, okay, well, the bar was low for this being good.
It's been marginally better. It's been a little bit better.
And I just can't, when this is over, when he loses the title, when the title is out of the briefcase, all of this, when this is over, I don't see where is left for him to go. Like, because he's always seemed that someone that's quite frustrated, you know, with just being a weekly TV wrestler anyway. But yeah, I think this has been a very, very, very bad storyline. And I think that he's very lucky that there's other people in the company that have been doing really good storylines that have made the product watchable. Like, very watchable, like Ospreay, Kenny coming back, even MJF, who I was down on before. I like what he's doing now. And those are the people I'm tuning in to see. Whereas Moxley, like the guy that's champion, is just a turnoff for me. But
can you imagine if Sean just went, and now our special guest, the AEW World Champion, Jon Moxley? But hi, John.
I think he'd be insufferable to talk to, but that's just my opinion. Like,
in some ways, I think he'd be like, that's fine. You don't need to like my stuff. Like, I think he would be like, he'd get it. He's not going to, like, John Moxley's not going home going, oh my God, these people on the internet don't like me. Like, he's not.
Well, he doesn't have a phone, does he? So he can never know.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, it's just, Hangman Page for the win. I think it's like, I'm like 51% sure Hangman's going to win and 49% like terrified that he's not.
Well, I love Hangman. I'm one of those people that thinks AEW is Hangman's story. Like, the whole company is about great Hangman. He is great everything, really. And I don't think that Hangman's first title reign was, I think that that was really badly booked in so many ways. So him getting a do-over as champion would be awesome. I know that there's was so much talk about Darby Allin, who survived Everest, but I don't see Darby as world champion. I get why you might have the idea of making him world champion, but I don't see him as that guy. But I certainly would not sit around and wait for him for like a year to be the guy. I would much rather it be Hangman. And there's many interesting things that can be done with Hangman. And I just hope Hangman wins and they ship John Moxley off. Wherever he wants to be.
The only thing we disagree on is I do like some of his promos. But I also understand the stuff that, Moxley, but I understand the stuff that you're saying about him where I think that two things can be true, right? Somebody can enjoy something and say, I like those promos, but also understand why somebody else might just see them as word salad. Because for me, I'm talking about more, I like the swagger of it and I like the kind of attitude he's got. That's what draws it for me. If you were to ask me to recite any of the actual verbiage, never in a million years. So, I think very curious to see what he would do after All In. I assume, you know, the group disbands and he goes babyface. I assume that's what's going to happen. John, take the summer off. Go to the beach. Have a nice summer, and then we'll talk in October.
Yeah, I mean, I did see a comment here that was saying, the refusal to pivot is mad. I don't think the main event at All In will be worth a year's worth of bad story. I think like it has been going on for so long that even the fact that it's divisive means it like, you know, should have ended. But with Tony Khan, you never know. I could see him thinking like it will be such great heat if Moxley wins and like we do it again. And there's just there's been so much misery. But do you see any surprises? Do you see like Sting coming in? Darby coming in?
I do think you could see Darby coming and helping, like you know, get rid of Claudio or Wheeler. I think you could see Bryan Danielson coming to help a little bit.
Yeah, Danielson, because he was at the Arena Mexico show watching it, and then he got in the ring.
Yeah, he did the stuff after the show, and also how things were left for him. So you know, it's the big. Ace Danielson comes out with a recyclable bag, but like you could have Darby and Danielson come in at the last minute to take out the heels so that it comes down to Moxley and Paige, and that would feel like a big moment and allow Paige to have him one on one.
Danielson, if Danielson is ever going to appear on AEW TV again, his first appearance needs to be like getting some kind of revenge on Moxley, because that was such a extreme angle to do that he can't just turn up at some other, you know, random point, I think. But I would like to see him come back. And I think with it being Texas Death, anything goes. So Moxley has his Death Riders companion. So that means that like Hangman Page can get some friends to help him, and maybe they will be Darby Allin and hopefully Sting. Sting coming in would be really awesome.
Old man Sting, old Gray Sting.
Great guy.
Love it.
All right, Kenny, that was the marathon. Thank you so much for previewing three shows with me. Oh my gosh, an hour and a half.
And the thing is, you only told me about one show, and I get here and I'm like ready to go. I've got my eight matches in me, and then here we are, 47 matches later, and we're done.
I said All In and possibly Evolution, and that turned into All In, Evolution, and Saturday Night's Main Event.
But I had fun. Hopefully people watching had fun. Yeah, it's been good. And let's not leave it 18 months again for the next one.
Yes, for sure. I hope you all watching had fun. And sorry to John Moxley and Adam Cole if you guys were watching too. And Randy Orton and Seth Rollins and anyone else.
A lot of people that you read for filth in this podcast, but that's what people
want. And Ginger Minj. Sorry to Ginger Minj if she's watching. I know she's a huge fan of wrestling prediction shows.
Yeah, it's been fun though. I'm looking forward to the weekend. It's yeah. You know, there's lots of big shows. I mean, I'm doing a show with Jinder Mahal on Sunday, so I've got to fit that in at some point as well. So, in Glasgow. So, yeah. But thank you as well for everyone who watched, and thank you for the kind words about my wedding night in Nitro. Hopefully it lasts. You know, wrestling weddings. I'm going to run in.
Who's gonna? Who's getting put through a cake? Getting a cake dumped on them.
Well, actually, one of my fiance's best men suggested that somebody put him through a table. And we're like,
wow,
okay. And I was like, but then if you do that, you're gonna have to sell that the rest of the night. You'll need to do the night race. So, but luckily, the venue said no. So,
are you entering to a theme? I know that at Maddie's wedding reception, he did the Bloodline. He came out to Roman.
Yes, I am, but I'd rather not say what. If that's okay.
No, don't say. Don't say.
I'll tell you off air. But I'll tell you off air.
Okay. Everyone. Thank you so much.
Next time you have me on, I will say it publicly. But for now, okay.
I'll just it's a secret. Yeah, everyone, thanks for watching. And, you know, remember that it's a great wrestling weekend for fans of all company and everything. You know, sometimes when you're talking about this stuff, people are on one side or the other, but it's an amazing wrestling weekend for everyone to enjoy. Kenny, where can people find you?
You can find our magazine at InsideTheRopesMagazine.com. You can go to the YouTube.com/InsideTheRopes to see all of our live show clips that go up. If you're in the UK, we do loads of live shows. InsideTheRopes.co.uk. We've got shows coming up with Jinder Mahal, Mark Henry, Bret Hart, Mick Foley so far. We do books on Dave Meltzer's Wrestling Observer. We do complete collections, yearbooks. They're all on Amazon. And yeah, loads of stuff. So just type in Kenny McIntosh Wrestling. I'll pop up everywhere to annoy you.
All right, guys. And you can follow me at Stephanie M. Chase. And I will see you next time. And thank you again, Kenny. It was wonderful to do a show with you. Bye.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365. And it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.